Revelation.
Let's get it started. This is CliffCentral.com. It's Untapped Talents with me, Siya Sangwenifin. Thank you so much for having us on. It's going to be an amazing hour because I get to chat to cool people, right? That's how we always do it. So what you can expect for the next hour and a little bit, I'll be chatting to State Society a little later. They're a band and they feature like a mixture of musical influences and backgrounds ranging from blues to rock to pop rock and alternative. So they basically show that there are no limitations with their writing ability and style. And they're actually here to play a song for us as well. It's called We Are, and I have to say I was jamming to it a little earlier, not to sound biased, but I kind of enjoy it, so that's why I have them on the show. And starting us off, I'll be chatting to someone from Jittery Citizens. I was like, okay, so I've had like actors on the show, I've had like dancers, and I like thespians because they're all theatrical and dramatic and it'll give me the whole story, so why not bring some of them on? But they're an improv group, and so I have Claudine Ullman, right? From Jittery Citizens, who will be telling me more about what they do and all the interesting stuff that they have planned for Johannesburg as well. So if you want to get involved in the conversations as I conversate, I heard that wasn't a word. Is it converse? Converse, I've been told. As I converse with these awesome people right here on cliffcentral.com, if you do want to get involved, all you have to do is send us a message on our WeChat official account. It is Cliff Central. All you have to do is tap connect and message to show, and then your message will pop up right in front of me. Also, you can tweet us at cliffcentral.com and at Sia_SF. So let's get it started the right way. This is
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.
One day I will get like fireworks and pyrotechnics to go with that. Anyway,
I liked it.
Thank you. That's why I like having you in studio, Claudine. How are you doing?
I am so good. I'm so excited to be here.
We can have a great time just complimenting each other. I think that's how it's going to happen.
That is exactly how there it's going to happen. Sending each other love and good energy.
Claudine, you're the founder and managing director of the Jittery Citizens. How do we even begin to encapsulate what Jittery Citizens does, first of all?
Well, in a South African context, we don't really have too much of a reference for what improv comedy is. But I guess if you're listening and if you've watched TV, you'll know Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Yes.
And we do that. We do short form improv, but we've actually moved on to doing long form improvisation, which I'll explain a little bit later.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically we're in the comedy industry and we are doing it all improvised, which means unscripted, unrehearsed, yeah. And we are winging it,
and
baby.
And with unscripted, unrehearsed, that's why you're on Unradio. See what I did there?
I see what you did.
It's so corny for a Friday morning.
You improvised there.
I'm just trying to understand. Do you have to be a comedian to be like an improv actor, or do you just have to be an actor who goes off the cuff?
The truth is you don't have to be an actor or a comedian.
Okay.
I mean, we do a lot of work with corporates, and the truth is all of us in everyday life improvise, right?
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, you've got a rough script over here. You kind of know what you're talking about.
It's
but
not
otherwise,
word for word.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not word for word. You're improvising. So anybody can improvise, but it's a skill. You know, it depends on if you're going to be, I mean, do you have a talent for it? Are you going to be a good improviser?
Yeah.
Do you have a natural comic timing? You know, that also comes into play. That's important.
Yeah.
But the truth is anybody and everybody can improvise, but it's like learning the piano. I'm learning the piano now.
Okay.
As an adult, and I'm still on middle C and I'm really cuck. Can you say cuck on the radio?
Yes, well, you've already said it as well.
Okay,
no,
and
you
now
can.
I've said it twice. Now I've said it twice. But if I would practice it daily and, you know, make it part of my routine and learn how to be good at playing the piano, I'd probably get there. And the same thing is with improv. It's a skill and it's something
that
can be
learned. And it's like a muscle you must continuously exercise.
Look at these muscles.
Well, there we go, girl. There we go. You flex those buns. Those guns, not the buns. You
see, I can flex the buns as well.
Well, you see, my improv skills are horrible then when I make sexual innuendos when I don't mean to.
But Freudian slips.
It is like horrible. How do you know You know, this is an interesting thing I always admire with comedians. How do you know that you have the confidence to be a comedian? To go like, okay, it's nice to like crack a little joke with my circle of friends. Now you're saying, ha ha hee hee, I can make a whole crowd laugh when I'm on stage.
Well, I mean, my story is a little different in that I've always known that I've wanted to perform.
Okay.
So I studied at WITS and I studied drama. And then after varsity, I was like, I'm not ready to go out into the big wide world. Instead, I want to go see what they're doing overseas.
Okay.
So I went to go live and work in London for 2 years.
Is that like the big scene when it comes to comedy or
no, not at
live
all.
Production?
I mean, theatre, absolutely.
The West End.
Yes,
we've
the
all
West
heard
End,
of it. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was actually interested in physical theatre. In theatre that used the body, so mask work, clowning.
Is that like when you get a dancer who like moves around on stage, next thing she says like, oh no, I was a flower being born?
Kind of.
Because I never get that.
No, I also couldn't get that, but I was more interested in the clowning aspect, which is kind of like a TV version of clowning is Mr. Bean. So creating characters
slapstick,
using the
almost.
Body, very slapstick,
okay.
Very physical. So I was interested in that. So I went to go study at LISPA, which is the London International School of Performing Arts. And I went to go study at Helikos.
Okay.
And I was like, this is awesome. I love it. But my visa ran out.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, I'm not ready to come home still. So with all the wonderful pounds I had made, I took my small fortune and I went to America.
Huh.
And I went to Chicago, to the second city, and I was like, I'm gonna try improv.
Yeah.
And
is that when you met Armando Diaz?
No, I met Armando when I went to go study in New York.
I just love the fact that he has a cool name like Armando Diaz.
No, he has the best name in the world, and he's, if you speak to him, he is the most unassuming man in the world. He doesn't speak like this at all.
Oh, you see, no, that doesn't make him cool anymore. I need an accent. I need a Sofia Vergara-esque accent.
Well, he's got an American accent.
Okay, that'll do, I guess. Yeah, so he's like the improv guru, so to speak.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. So after Second City, I went to New York.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is a few years later now.
Are you still just going on like wing and faith and like, okay, let's see where this journey takes us?
Kind of. But then after New York, after Chicago, I'd come back and I'd started the Jittery Citizen, started my improv journey.
Yeah.
Then I went, last year, I went to New York to study under Armando, who is, he's got his own format that we perform at the Market Theatre called The Armando.
Of course. That is when you know you've made it, when you have anything named after you. All I know is in the theatre world is Stanislavski.
Stanislavski.
That's all I know.
And there's
I think it's an achievement that I pronounced the name correctly this morning.
No, I think you need to go on some acting courses as well. You'd absolutely love it. But maybe not Stanislavski. That's a bit method.
Yeah.
A bit serious.
So the Armando.
The Armando.
Si, and the hand goes up when you say Armando.
You have to say it like this.
Si, si.
Yeah, so we perform the Armando as well.
Yeah.
Which is long form. So everybody knows Whose Line Is It Anyway, short form, theatre, little games. The audience are very interactive. They're shouting things at us, giving us suggestions of what we're going to perform. Whereas Armando, we usually have a celebrity guest. So last month's guest was Luis Ogola.
Ah.
And we usually like to pick someone a little bit funny, so they're entertaining and awesome.
Yeah.
And they get a suggestion from the audience and they do a 5-minute monologue. And then we do a half an hour to 45-minute show inspired from their monologue.
Shucks.
Yes.
So what goes into preparing? How can you even prepare for a show like that?
Well, the truth is people think that improv is totally unrehearsed. It's not. We meet once a week on a Tuesday night and we go through all the games and we go through the formats and we work on the major rules of improv. So okay. Yes, anding, accepting, listening and responding, working as a team. So
I'm guessing like if someone is like in the middle of an improv dialogue, you can't exactly say, no, I didn't do that.
Absolutely. It doesn't work. Saying no doesn't work. Okay. You have to say yes. So for example, if I come on stage and I go, Sia, here's a piece of cake. You're not going to say to me, no, it's not a piece of cake, it's a gun. Because then the scene can't move anywhere.
Yeah.
So we practice that. We practice the skills of saying yes, of listening and responding, creative brainstorming, and working as a team.
Yeah.
And basically, we go on the Sunday, the last Sunday of every month.
Okay.
And we perform our little hearts out, but we have no idea before of what we're going to perform.
Doesn't that, you know, I think in a situation like that, it's either it can really, really liberate you because you're like, okay, you're energized, let's go out and do it, or it can give you like anxiety.
Do you know what? It's so
you don't know
liberating.
How it's going to turn out. Yeah.
We have no idea. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, what the comedian's going to say, what the suggestion's going to be.
Uh-huh.
So even if we do rehearse the format and, you know, the suggestion is never the same.
Exactly.
And what the comedian has to say is never the same. So it's actually, I find it totally liberating. And it is liberating to trust yourself.
Yeah.
It's liberating to say, I'm going to get up there on stage and I'm going to totally be confident, trust in my ability as a performer.
Yeah.
And trust in the fact that people are going to find the funny in recognizing the realness of the performance.
So as an audience member, basically, if you go and watch an improv show, you never know what to expect.
You never know what to expect, and it's always going to be different. So we have quite a strong following.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they come to show after show after show because it's always different.
Wow.
Always funny, but always different.
And I'm sure as well, the audience interaction, you feed off that. That's kind of essential, is it?
It's so essential. I mean, the audience, we don't call the audience up on stage unless it's something like a short form performance and usually for a corporate or where the client wants the, the actors to, the audience to really get involved.
Yeah.
Otherwise, with long form, we don't call you up on stage. We just want you to shout suggestions at us. And you get prizes if you shout at us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly. So,
winning. Now I'll go.
Hello. Jury Citizens t-shirt in the bag. So it really is fun. It's an interactive show. You tell us what we are going to perform.
Uh-huh.
So it's really much people's theater and you going to laugh. That we can guarantee.
So I can already tell from this conversation that this is something you're passionate about and that you absolutely love.
Oh, how can you tell?
But exactly. But
I'm jumping out.
Have you had some of those like sort of cringeworthy moments where you found yourself doing something and it didn't turn out, so the audience didn't laugh? Do you remember a moment like that?
The truth is you often get those surprises in theater, especially with like you have a live audience, so it's interactive. And what doesn't work in improv that does work in stand-up, because I've started stand-up now and it's a totally different ballgame, baby.
Ay-ay-ay.
Yeah, it's very hectic. But what doesn't work in improv is playing the gag.
Playing the gag. What
playing
do you mean by
the
that?
Gag. Yeah. So for example, this is something that happened in rehearsal. The audience gave an example, a suggestion of being autistic, and the comedian did a whole monologue about being autistic instead of autistic.
Okay.
And like in stand-up, something like that would totally kill.
Yeah.
But in improv, it's more about finding the truth in relationships, finding the realness on stage, and that's what's funny.
Oh my goodness, I'm
rather
so completely
than the
lost.
Gag.
Okay.
Rather than the
You're
gag.
Getting very deep about this. That's why it means a lot, definitely.
It does.
So where did we make the shift from, okay, I do this improv thing and I find it kind of exhilarating, but let me try stand up now?
I've always been interested in dabbling in stand up, but I've always always been a little pip scared about it.
Yeah.
Because
it's now you aren't hiding
from
in a character, or you can't wear costumes. It's literally you.
It's literally... Well, I mean, improv is also literally... Even though I'm playing characters,
yeah,
it's me because it's improvised. So there's no script. There's nothing like that.
Oh, yeah,
that.
True. There's no safety.
Exactly.
Either way.
So with improv, I'm used to going out on stage, playing different characters, but it's coming from me.
Uh-huh.
Now I have to write material first.
Shucks.
And also I feel like the audience in improv is a lot more forgiving. They understand that they're coming to watch an improv show that's made up on the spot. They, you know, more willing to laugh in a way.
Yeah.
Whereas I find with stand-up,
the expectation is really high.
The expectation is so high. And I mean, you know, I'm performing alongside, I did a Women's Day, the Women's Day show this last Sunday,
yeah,
with Mel Jones, Angel Campy, Tumi Morake.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm performing with the best of the best. The pressure is on.
Yeah.
And the audience members are like, we've paid 120 rand a ticket. You better kill.
And it's not like maybe you can dance on the side, or maybe you can sing on.
No,
you are a
you,
stand-up
babes.
Comedian, and there's
exactly.
one expectation to make us laugh.
Exactly.
Wow.
But I'm kind of loving it. And I did it because I wanted to stretch and grow my comedy muscles and, you know, do something really different. And it is really different. And I'm realizing that you can do both and be good at both and have fun at both.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of loving the mix of just doing all round comedy.
So as someone who's always known that they wanted to be a performer, who were your influences growing up?
Ooh, wow. I used to watch a lot of female sketch.
Okay.
So like the Tracy Ullman show. We are not related.
I was about to say that. Like maybe it's the comedy gene.
No, she's a Polish Catholic, Polish Catholic descent, and I'm Russian Jew.
Okay,
so there
is
nothing related about
North
us.
And South Pole.
Exactly. I used to watch Carol Burnett.
Okay.
Used to love that. I think Saturday Night Live has totally...
Tina Fey, Amy
baby,
Poehler.
Tina Fey.
Kristen Wiig.
But watching, being in New York and going to gigs like Upright Citizens Brigade,
uh-huh,
and ASCAT performances, you sit outside on a Sunday for 4 hours on the side of the road and
wow,
you wait. But then you go inside and you get to watch the cast of Saturday Night Live, basically, performing live improv theater. So Amy Poehler, Horatio Sanz, Bobby Menigan.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and there's no way you can't be inspired by that. Like,
but I think there's something about, you know, I look at Saturday Night Live as a show, yeah, and it's been running for years now. There's something about that show that'll never get old. The principle's the same. It's sketch comedy. It's all, like, very live. I do not ever think that that show will ever have a problem with ratings.
It won't.
It's an institution.
It's an institution. It's because people want to laugh at society, and
uh-huh,
that's what Saturday Night Live is doing. But they're making people laugh at society with celebrities. So
yeah,
it's like pop culture. It's new. It's fresh. You know, the material is new and fresh, even though the format is, you know,
yeah,
possibly quite dated, but it works. It
and
works,
they do it
and people
in such clever,
it.
Smart ways. I love,
exactly,
like, in everything that Saturday Night Live has done, I feel like a pervert saying this, but the most memorable moment for me was when a young Lindsay Lohan was now, like, growing up, you know, maturing as a woman, so she had bigger boobs, and there was this little scene of, it was like a Harry Potter scene, and
yes,
somehow there was
I've
a magnifying glass right in front of her cleavage, which is amplified. I mean, you cannot get that anywhere.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, I've read Amy Poehler's biography.
Uh-huh. Something about a boss?
It's called Yes, Please.
Yes,
Tina Fey's is called Bossy Pants.
Yes, okay.
So in Amy's biography, she speaks about having to write and having to perform, which is such a great skill. And now that I'm getting into stand-up and we actually starting Jittery Sketch, you know, it's so wonderful to be able to write your own material,
yeah,
test it, see if it works with audiences.
How do you test it?
By doing performances.
Okay.
By doing a performance.
So it's like it might fly, it might like be...
Exactly. That's why. Sketch, you go back, and the same with stand-up comedy. You have your set, you perform it, awesome. That worked, that didn't, cut it out.
Yeah.
You know, change, adapt. You've got to... Like Jerry... Jerry
Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld. I was thinking of Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. I was like,
definitely not Jerry Springer.
Maybe not Springer.
Not Springer. Jerry Seinfeld had the same set for 20 years. I mean, it was different back then. There was no YouTube. There was no, internet where everybody could get hold of your material. But he had the same set that he just kept on tweaking and reworking and making funnier and seeing what worked and didn't work and changing up. And, you know, so it's very different for me because...
Why do you think it still works after so many years?
Well, I think because his material is very, you know, he also is very pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, the sets I've seen of his online, he's not very, his humor isn't as political, but political humor also works. But it's more about, he's got a humor that's kind of sustainable. Uh-huh. You know, and his jokes are very sustainable.
And something I have no idea. To me, Jerry Seinfeld does not get old. His delivery, his manner, it just does not get old. That's why people still love watching reruns of Seinfeld. Yeah,
exactly. He's seasoned. And also what's really nice is, him and Larry David had total...
From Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yes. Had total free reign. You know, to write what they wanted to write, which also makes a difference. Because, like, as I'm saying now, it's such a wonderful thing to be given. And this is what I have with improv, especially on stage, is to be given creative freedom.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to trust myself and know that I'm going out on stage and it's going to work.
It has to work.
But it does work. You've got a whole team supporting you. And, you are making other people in the whole thing about improv is making other people in the team look good. So it's really a place of total support and total love for each other. And that works. That's awesome. In comedy. Yeah. So I'm really loving, I guess, the... ability to have total freedom without a script, and then the total freedom of writing my own material and being able to all my own sketches and being able to perform that as well.
Listen, let's talk about some of the great stuff that Just Recitizens is doing and has done. You guys recently went to Grahamstown.
How
was that?
That was awesome. Grahamstown is always awesome. And comedy sells, improv comedy sells. So we really do well in Grahamstown. You know, we had sold out shows. We also have, and I am totally punting and boasting, we have
go ahead.
South Africa's top performers in Jittery Citizens. I mean,
let's name drop, baby.
James Cairns, Bruce Little,
awesome.
Mpho Osatutu. We have, Alex Radnitz. We have literally like top people in Tony Morkel, Tony Bentel. We have like top people
That's an awesome theatre industry. Yeah.
We really, I am so blessed. And, we've been working with Loyiso Gola, Kagiso Lediga, Dave Kabuka, Tumi Morake,
who are all doing awesome things. I mean, Loyiso writing for
their own thing,
the
exactly.
show in Australia. It's,
they
David
over.
Is now writing for
Trevor.
Trevor as well.
Dave is writing for Trevor, so he's leaving in like a week and a bit, which is really exciting. You know, I really am so grateful that I'm surrounded by these comedic geniuses because through osmosis and through being around them I'm learning so much and just being able to pursue my passion
and having a team like this around you just says a lot about the production or who or what Jittery Citizens is. Because with great people like this, you guys, not to sound too biased, you guys really do put on a good show.
Yeah.
So what can we expect from Jittery Citizens moving on now?
There are huge things coming up in our future in the pipeline, which I'm so excited about. So we've started actually doing a stand-up comedy, a Jittery Citizen stand-up comedy, which we used to do at Union Bar on a Wednesday night. We're waiting for the new Union Bar in Sandton to open before we do that again. We're starting Jittery Sketch, so you can expect we're going to start off with YouTube channel, but fantastic. Eventually we want to move to TV, baby.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge to all the right people. Yes.
Please listen, media. Buy us out. Just more improv comedy, new styles, new formats, new theater. It's also so important. South Africans in general don't have a great theater going
culture
at all. Our shows do well, but it's the same sort of audiences who are coming to watch comedy. And what we are trying to do as improvisers is find our place in the South African comedy industry, because, stand-up is huge. The stand-up comedians had to fight to get where they are, but they're there now. And now we are fighting our way to hustle to the same space as where we're just as known as stand-up comedy.
But listen, if all of that isn't enough to get you into a theater and to watch Jittery Citizens, listen, Claudine wears fantastic shoes, so that should bring... Yeah.
Thank you, babes.
I call them yummy because they're multicolored and they're nice and glossy. I just want to bite into them. So
do
that
you know
should
what
bring
they're called?
People. What?
They're called Dunks.
I need
Nike
to be cool
dunks.
Enough. Dunks.
And do you know why I bought them?
Why?
There's a song by the Click Click that goes, and I was listening to them when I was in New York, and I was like, I have to get a pair of Dunks.
Okay.
And it goes, please will you step off of my Dunks and don't get dirt on my Dunks. They make me dizzy from the back to the front. I haven't took them off once and I've been wearing them for months. I'm in love with my white Nike Dunks.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
She can spit too, girl.
Damn. Well, we actually do sing-prov. We do sing-prov as well. So the audience will shout out a word like popcorn was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to sing a whole song about... I love you, baby.
Just
I love
like
you evening and morn. But I don't love you as much as popcorn.
Oh, my goodness. You see, all of this that liberates you is just giving me anxiety. The thought of just having to do that. Yeah, I cannot. And that's why kudos to you. Claudine, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Where,
it's so much fun.
Where can we get more information about you and Jittery Citizens?
You can get more information about us on our website, www.jitterycitizens.com. Com as in global.
Yes.
The world. We are taking over, baby. You can find us on Facebook, / Jittery Citizens, Twitter, @ Jittery Citizens, Instagram, @ Jittery Citizens.
Awesome.
And otherwise, you can follow me on Instagram, @ Claudio K Kiddo.
No, you have to spell that. no, you
Claudie,
have to spell that.
CLAUDIOKKIDDO.
There we go. Thank you so much for being here, hey? And like, people better get out in their masses to listen to all
you
of this.
You better come to our show the last Sunday of the month.
Okay.
I'm giving you tickets. You're coming.
All right. But I'm not going to be pulled on stage, right?
Not at all.
There we
You're going to sit back, relax, and laugh.
Now I'll definitely be coming. This is Untapped Talent.
South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye-Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Gold, we are one.
The memories seem to fade. on cliffcentral.com.
I think it's safe to say that that's now officially one of my favorite songs. That is what that was We Are by thank you. It's so nice that it was sort of playing twice. We can just have it like playing in the background all the time. That is We Are by State Society. And joining me now, the awesome guys who are actually behind that. I have Mike Pocock.
Yes, that's correct.
There we go. Who plays bass for State Society. And Justin Ray, who's guitar and keyboard. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
No, thank you for having us.
What an awesome, awesome song.
No, thanks.
I'm always very particular with musicians. I don't know whether you enjoy comparisons, but I have to say, like, 30 Seconds to Mars is one of my favorite groups, and it sounds very like it's an anthem. I feel like
it's a very big anthemic choruses.
Yeah, you know. Listen, like, Avengers or someone needs to get on this and make it a soundtrack to the movie. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge to the right people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think any publishers out there who want to pitch it for any sync deals,
yes,
we're all for it.
Now I can see, like, the Fantastic Four, like, flying into the city, and you have We Are in the background.
I would love it to be on, like, I don't know, a super sport ad. That would be my favorite thing.
Let's have, like, slow motion cameras, and the guys are, like, in the locker room, and completely, they're getting out into the tunnel.
Completely whored out.
We don't mind selling out.
As long as you find somehow the music is getting out there.
Exactly.
How did all these, like, different guys get together and form State Citizens? Where did the journey start? State Society.
We are citizens of the State Society. It's actually a good slogan. We should use that.
And will Sia get 15% for that?
Sia will get 10% for that.
Okay. It's fine. 10 will be good enough.
Okay.
How did we get into the journey and form?
So basically, the band was started by Cliff and Pietree, who Cliff's our lead singer and guitarist, and Pietree's the drummer. And they lived in the Vaal, so they just started this band. They went into studio, recorded an album, the two of them, which is This Life, which is our debut album, which is on iTunes and all of that, all the leading digital retailers at the moment. And basically, then they needed a guitarist, and then they got Mashant on board. Then they got a bassist on. A guy named Jono came on board. And then Jono left the band. That's when I came in on bass. And then recently, we got Justin on board on guitar and keyboards. Now, Justin, like, the thing is, Justin's like the most experienced muso out of all of us. Where have you played? Where have you played? I think you need to gloat a bit.
Where haven't I played?
Yeah, but which one was the big one? 2013.
The biggest one was FNB Stadium opening for Metallica. That was my favorite.
My goodness.
Yeah. 65,000 people
chanting along, singing along to the song.
Oh, hello.
There's the mic. Yeah, we just moved the mic closer. There we go. It must be a thrill unlike any other. I always just think my one wish is that I was cool enough to be like a rock star, to be on stage. Imagine just 65,000 people chanting along to your song. Yeah. Is that something you've always dreamed of?
Yeah. I think anyone who tells you otherwise is a damn liar. Damn straight. You want to, you know, when you're 15 or 14 or whatever, picking up an instrument, half the time you want to pick up chicks.
Okay.
And
to just be in a cool band.
Exactly. And 90% of the time you learn that that's not what it's about, and you just look at it and you go, that's, I don't know if I'm going to use the F word there, but it's damn cool and I want to do it. And when it did happen, it was, what the hell is happening to my life? What's going on here?
Shucks.
And yeah, the feeling of walking onto big stages like that and knowing that the people are interested in, they know you're coming on and they're excited to see you. And it's like literally grabbing a million volt cable and holding on for dear life and knowing you're going to come out of it at the end in a very good place. And playing Oppy Coppy with these guys was no different. Well, it was different, but it was equally as exciting because Oppy Coppy was a long-term dream of mine to play. And no, I'm very happy with where we are.
Listen, Mike, you know, at 14, 15, did you already have your head set like this is something you want to do?
As a musician?
Yeah.
No, not at all. When I was 14, 15, I was a bit of a jock at school and I just played rugby. That's all I did.
So I would have hated you.
I was a late bloomer at school. No, then I realized that the popular jocks at school normally end up being the losers out of school. So
with a big beer belly and
exactly. And, so that's when I changed my my forte, yeah. You know, which moved to music and then, you know, after that. So when
did you actually get into like learning the bass?
Actually, you know, I mean, me, it was, I picked up a guitar when I was, for the first time, I think when I was like 16 or 17. And, you know, I went about it, just messed around on it, realized I wasn't very good at guitar. So I just decided then, cool, I'll try bass because it's got, only got four strings.
You know, I think it's one thing to be a musician and to be interested in music as a person because you have your own influences and you have your own vision. How does that work when you now bring like four or five guys together and you're now like, okay, let's have one solid ambition or vision. How are we going to go about doing things?
Well, I think the first thing is that you all have to be on the same page of what you want to achieve, you know, and you have to set realistic goals for yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, a band coming in for the first, you know, in the first year, mustn't expect to, like, you know, headline every festival and all of that, you know.
Have you got a tour bus with your face on it.
Exactly,
sort of think that's still cool as well.
It would be awesome, but, you know, you have to have realistic expectations. You all have to be on the same wavelength. I mean, you don't all necessarily have to listen to the same type of music. I mean, we all, five members in this band, we all listen to very different things.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think helps bringing the different influences in to create the state society sound that we have. So I think you all have to be on the same wavelength and you all have to have the same goal at the end of the day. And, you know, also just be realistic about it and also be, you know, I think a little bit more mature about it. We've all been, all of us have played in different bands before. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we've kind of done the adolescent growing up part in other bands already.
Yeah.
So I think when we all came together, we're a little bit more mature in the approach to this band, which I think helps at the end of the day with us. So yeah, I mean, it's just make sure you're on the same wavelength. Just try and be as original as possible as well. You don't want to, you know, screw what's popular out there at the moment. I mean, we don't throw banjos and ukuleles in our music and wear scarves in summer and ride fixies and all of that.
Don't attack the hipsters. There's a place for hipsters.
No. There is a place for hipsters and they can carry on doing what they do, but we do what we do. And the thing is, I feel like our music has more longevity than what is out there at the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like someone will listen to us track like We Are in 10 years and still think it's cool because it doesn't have a banjo in it.
Exactly.
It's not something, you know, that's like cool.
It's not a dated thing. It's not something that's going to say, oh, this is 2014. Ugh, now it's 2015. Move on to the next thing. You know, where's the, I mean, what I do for a living is I'm a full-time musician. I teach and I repair instruments, and I just recently came across a banjolele. So if anyone wants one.
A banjolele? Yeah. Is that a ukulele and a banjo?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, let's just have a moment for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So people who want to go onto those trends, it's dated. It's got a very short shelf life, whereas rock music and actually being a musician and going out and hitting the road and playing, there's so many bands that are still doing it overseas. I mean, Alter Bridge have done it for the past 10 or 11 years. They're a huge influence on my playing. But that's the thing, is that good music will always survive.
Yeah,
exactly.
It goes through whatever trend there is, goes ups and downs and whatever. Good music will always survive.
Because, I mean, rock music at the moment, it is on a downer. We won't, I mean, it's a fact. It is on the downer, but like whatever sinks will rise, will float to the top again.
Why do you say downer? Is it like, have we gone past those days of like Ozzy Osbourne being on stage and he bites the head off like a bat and like...
You see, I think...
Rockers aren't as crazy as that anymore, sadly.
No, I think I blame it on the internet.
Yes.
Because the internet has caused it. You can't shock people anymore because anything is out there for people to look at now.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, like, I mean, like, I had to do a little research on the deep web, and that is, you don't want to go there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's not Google, it's not Yahoo, and it's accessible to anyone. So I think that you know, but that means the thing is like we just have to rely on the music that can stand the test of time. And at the end of the day, with this band, that's what we want to write. We want to write music that, like I said, in 10 years, 15 years, will still be something that people want to listen to.
Exactly. You know, a song like We Are, the idea is of the song is that we're all living out our dream, which is one of the main lines in the song.
Yeah.
And for me, my biggest dream in life was to always play music and do it with people who I quote unquote like, you know. Yeah. So I've done it with my best friends and some really cool guys as well, and I'm just in a happy place. And that's what's nice about music, is that, you know, you're always setting goals for yourself, trying to achieve them. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. And that's the same thing with the overall music industry. I was watching an interview with Hell Yeah's guitar player last night, and he was talking about touring festivals like having a shelf life as well. Now, overseas, they've got festivals that go from state to state or from country to country. And that's a really cool idea and something that South Africa doesn't do yet. Yeah. But he's like on the opinion that it's on the way out. And this is a guy that's playing with Dimebag Darrell's brother. You know, Dimebag unfortunately passed away in 2005. But,
yeah,
you know, there's so many different aspects to the music business that it's a never-ending labyrinth.
Mm-hmm. So what's the big problem, per se? Do you think that not a lot of people are really passionate about music anymore? Are they just doing it for commercial success or the money or the... you know, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll lifestyle, but not like...
No, if you're doing...
There is no sex, drugs anymore because
the drugs are too expensive.
Okay. I swear, the backstage part of a festival is the most boring place to be. It is horrible.
Don't take away the idea I had of just having a backstage pass and you like crowd surf.
It
Do
is
you
so
at least
boring.
Crowd surf?
If you're at the right show, yes.
If you're at the right show,
thank
yes.
You. So
yes.
There's still some sort of faith.
Yeah, no. Look, I mean, the fun aspect is still there. I just think people are so spoiled for choice at the moment as well. There's so much music out there, and the most challenging part, I think, is when you need to create something that's going to stand above everyone else.
Okay. Exactly. What sets you apart from...
Band A or Band B.
From
you
the
know?
Next band. Yeah.
But I think also in a different way, it's all about how you look at things. You can look at it and just be dismayed. Or you can say, this is my chance to really step up and prove why everyone should know State Society and that you do make good music. You see, nice constructive chat about music.
Very, very good constructive.
Not all of it's
like,
negative.
I feel like I'm in a workshop.
We are helping people.
So
let's talk about the process of creating This Life, your debut album.
Okay, yeah, that was, I mean, neither of us were involved in it, but we've heard enough about it.
The process.
We haven't like split up, we haven't killed anyone, so Civilian was a great artistic process.
No, it was, I mean, like I said, Cliff and Pietri basically wrote that album.
Yeah, they were the main songwriters on that, and then Mashant added a completely different texture to that.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, well, the thing is, like we want Cliff to keep on breaking up with girls because he writes great
so
songs.
So he's the Taylor Swift of the group.
Yes.
Pretty much,
he'll
write
about heartbreak and how...
It got to the point where we even had to go a little bit of lyric police on him. Because
would not stop saying beautiful. Please. He would not stop saying beautiful. We said to him, that word has been banned from any future songs.
So is he still the main guy? Because I know you guys are still writing new material.
Yes, we're continuously writing new stuff. Lyrically, yes, he is. But there has been input from all of us as well. Musically, it's about getting an amount. Justin can add a little bit more here because I'm just the bassist. And he can add a little bit more here. They basically show me what note to play. I'm like, okay, I'm fine.
It's that one.
That one, number 5 and number 7. I mean, Justin will be able to share more on the music writing process.
Yeah.
You guys are doing great things. You know, Beautiful Day has been playlisted and played around the country as well, as long as Dance as well.
Yes.
So you're achieving great success. Are you happy with, you know, the steps so far in your progression?
Very, very happy with it. I think this is the right amount of time that's taken to get here, and for the evolution, I call it the evolution of a band that will have longevity. A lot of our inspirations in terms of careers come from local bands like a Prime Circle, like a Parlatones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it took Parlatones 4 albums to actually get recognized. That's how long it actually took for them to get.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's that, you know, you just got to carry on and put the hard work in and, you know, screw what other people are doing and what they think and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We just carry on doing what we believe is the right thing to do. And we've noticed more and more people are attracted to it as well.
Yeah.
So what does the future look like for State Society? Any collaborations
very
with
busy.
Good people?
Very,
touring
very
as well?
Busy. Yeah. I mean, luckily we actually got a major sponsor on board, a brand we're very happy with, K-Star 7 Clothing, who invested in us quite a bit to actually record our new album, which is coming out, we're hoping, the end of September.
Yeah, at least by September. So, you know, absolute worst case scenario, it's still going to be a good Christmas present for people.
Exactly.
That's the silver lining.
Yeah. So, I mean, K-Star 7 invested a lot in us, and they got great clothes and everything. Sorry, shameless promotion. But yeah. No, but they really have helped us out a lot. Financially and also just in the promotion wise of things. Then also, so the new album's coming. We got shows lined up with some of our favorite local bands as well. Yeah. Over the next few weeks, especially in Joburg and Pretoria. We're going to go down to Bloem. We're planning Eastern Cape for December, you know, and do the whole holiday circuit, you call
Fantastic,
it, if you will.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's just continue. And then we've got music videos in the works as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes, so we are... Already has a music video.
Yes,
yeah,
you can watch that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, when the music videos for "Love to Feel," "We Are Dance," and "Beautiful Day," which are all on our own YouTube channel, so you can find it all there. And we also like to post different content as well, which we make ourselves. Like we call them webisodes of like studio diary type of vibes. So yeah.
So you guys are awesome guys doing awesome things.
Thank you. Thank you. You're awesome too.
Oh, you know what? That is why you guys are here.
Thanks.
Just throwing around compliments all the time. So where can we... Oh, there we go. That's the flu catching up.
Black lung.
All dear and sad and croaking dying. So where can people catch up with you to get more info on State Society?
So, I mean, there's Facebook, State Society. Just type it in. You'll find us there very, very easily. Yeah. Twitter,
YouTube, Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter is at State Society 1, just the number 1.
Uh-huh.
Instagram is State Society. We also have a SoundCloud account, State Society. And then on iTunes, you can find our first album, This Life, and then also our singles, Dance, We Are, and Beautiful Day, which will all be on the new album, but we've released them as singles in the lead up to the new album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where we can find it. I mean, not just iTunes, you can find it on the Samsung store and Nokia Music store.
Yeah.
Wherever your preferred supplier is.
Fantastic
your
stuff.
Preferred dealer.
Well,
preferred
okay,
dealer.
Let's not make it sound like a black market or underneath the carpets, gentlemen. But thank you so much for stopping by, Mike, Justin.
No,
State
thank
Society.
You, Sia. This has been awesome.
No,
thank
you guys
you.
Are awesome and all the best for the future.
Can I give? I would like to give a shout out to our publicist, Warren Gibson.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Warren, yeah.
You rock, dude. Thank
nice
you.
Sincere as well. There we go. He should be happy with that.
Yes.
Listen, you guys are the reason why I'll now be singing along the whole day. Like, we are.
Like
every
yes.
time I walk into the office, I'll picture it like in the background as I look.
You must picture. You must picture like an eagle. You must picture like
well.
Slow mo with an eagle landing on your shoulder, or a bolt of lightning coming.
Essentially, you're to blame for me looking like a dumbass.
Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by, gentlemen. Thank you to Claudine from Jittery Citizens for making my morning as well. Kicking the show off. Most importantly, thank you for listening once again. We do this every single Friday from 9 till 10 a.m. right here on cliffcentral.com. Catch up on all the shows on cliffcentral.com as well, as you can re-listen to some of my old shows via podcast. But other than that, until next week, 9 a.m. Right here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Sia, and I'll see ya.
This is cliffcentral.com.